Hello, sisters. Sister Deb from don'tperish.com. Hey, we're blessed with a warmish, coolish, breezy day, a little bit overcast, but oh, it's like spring. Spring is here. I saw some dandelions when we were in town the other day and some pretty purple flowers, little tiny ones. And I think it's a dogwood tree that's blooming, a white one. And there's more on the way. So praise God for new life and spring. It's awesome. I absolutely love the changing seasons. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to whatever the rest of this day has to bring and any that the Lord might give us going forward. But as it is right now, we can rejoice for the day that we have today. But anyway, so this audio I want to talk about is decorating our houses. And to be honest with you, sisters, there are no scripture verses in there. Well, let me back up real quick and say we just had that question recently. And I've had that question in the past over the years. And so I told the sister that asked that. I said, you know, it'd be a good teaching one for us to do. So I thought I would do an audio on it. We have more coming. And her particular question was in regards to how she decorated her children's rooms. But I'm going to kind of just open this up as a general decorating thing for women. So as I think about this, and I don't really have any notes because there's really not a whole lot that the Bible says about this. In fact, I can't find any scripture verses that tell us women what we should do or what we shouldn't do in regard to decorating our house. Now, there's a lot of different perceptions out there. Everybody has their own conscience and thoughts on such things. And I know there's some Anabaptist groups that they absolutely forbid any sort of decoration in their homes. They say because the Bible says we're not supposed to adorn our temples, which is our body. Women are godly women who are to dress in plain, loose, long, unadorned. That means not decorated, not patterns, not anything fancy or anything to draw attention to it. That's the temple of the Holy Spirit we're covering. But it says nothing about how we can decorate our homes. And so I don't have a whole lot for you in that other than what I like to use for a good test is Philippians 4:8. Let's go read that. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, that's telling us the things that we should be thinking about. It's a good way to test everything we think about, everything we do, anything we look at. And so we could apply that within our homes on what is it that we could put in our homes that maybe we want to make it more comfortable, we want to make it cozy looking, whatever words you want to use to describe it. We don't have any guidelines on that except for what we just read. If it's good and pure and true and lovely, those are what we could use to decorate our homes. And so, like I said, everybody has their own conscience or their thoughts. You know, even before you were in Christ coming from the world, everybody did things differently. And when you're transformed in Christ, you may still have some of that within you, which isn't necessarily sinful. We knew a sister that really knew how to pull the colors together in a house. And when you walked in, it just felt warm and cozy, and it was nothing like ostentatious or nothing. She did a really good job. In fact, her and her husband had remodeled this trailer house to make it look very nice. And then there's people like me who I really don't have much of a desire to put up much of anything for decorations. I mean, I like old kitchen things and I like to hang things like that. I have a few scripture pictures that some sisters gave me that I put up. I like things of nature. You know, I like sticks and rocks and wood. And to me, you know, the way we did our house and the way we did our cabins with the old wood and the metal, and I like older recycle. I like useful. I like purposeful. And yeah, there are a few things that, you know, I love flowers. I'd like to have flowers all over, but I just don't. So me personally, I guess I'm kind of talking about walls and pictures of what you could put up. Things of nature. And then as we, whatever it is, I mean, you could be painting your own pictures. Your children could be drawing pictures of whatever is good and pure and true. It could be animals, flowers, whatever it is that you want. And so decorating can also go into, like, your plates and saucers and cups. I pretty much have a lot of plain stuff, and I kind of kill my flesh. That's my choice. I have a couple things that have a little bit of decoration on them, only because, I don't know, I allowed myself to have a coffee mug, and I'm looking for a scripture mug. I'd love to have a scripture mug someday, so I'm sure the Lord will bless me with one at a thrift store sometime. Maybe, maybe not. But anyway, other than that, I could really get swept away when I'm going into thrift stores. There's some beautiful plates and cups and all these things in there. I don't really need all that. I have what I need. I mean, it wouldn't be sinful if a woman said, oh, I found this beautiful plate or beautiful set of a dishware, and it all matches, and it's got flowers, whatever it is on there. And if it was a very reasonable price and it's what she needed, there's nothing wrong with that. It's everybody's choice. We had sisters asked about bedding and curtains and pillows and couch fabrics or chair fabrics. And the scriptures don't tell us what to do with all that. You can have flowers or stripes or whatever it is that you want on the fabrics in your home. The scriptures speak about not adorning our temple. It doesn't say anything about our homes. And so there is some liberty in that. Now, all I want to say on this is there's liberty to choose whatever's good and pure and true that we see in Philippians 4:8. Whatever would be God-honoring and glorifying to Him. The one thing I do want to warn about is not getting carried away in the lust of the flesh that women can have. I know men can too, but I'm talking to us women. Oftentimes, women can have a tendency to maybe allow that to become a little bit too much of a focus. And trying to do things just exactly right, not being content until they get things that they're looking for and this and that. We're supposed to be thankful and content for food and raiment. And so anything beside that is going to be just an added blessing that we might be able to have. So in saying that, I also want to say that we have to use the Lord's resources frugally and in a manner that would be honoring to Him. And like I said, if you go to secondhand stores, say you have pure white plates, and you go to the secondhand store and you see a set of plates that has flowers or animals or whatever it is on it, and you go, oh, that is beautiful. And you're very frugal with your money, you're very wise, and you decide to buy that, and it's an extremely reasonable price, and you take the dishes you have and either set them aside or give them to somebody or give them back to the thrift store. That's not sinful. Now, a woman who is very concerned about exchanging everything she has to get exactly what she's looking for just because of a cosmetic value of it, I just want to warn you to be very careful about that, because now we're putting too much of a focus on it. It should be like a side issue, a lesser issue, a simple little bonus or a blessing that we do in our house. Now, if you're sewing pillows and there's choices of fabric from super expensive to something that is very reasonable and comfortable, I always encourage women to think on the frugal side, because quite honestly, sisters, all the stuff's going to burn someday, or someone else is going to have it after we die. Will it really matter? So I just want to encourage us all to have a balance on this and keep the focus on what is to be our focus, and it's Christ and Him crucified, His death, His burial, His resurrection, of what He has done to pay the price for us to be born again and follow after Him. That's the most important thing. And then sharing the gospel with those around us, training our children to the ways of the Lord. That's our focus. Helping our husband, being good Titus 2, godly women. These other things should be minute in comparison to that. And I've seen people with an off balance on that. Not many. Not a lot of sisters have an issue with that. I just want to encourage us in that. So there is some gray area in there that you can do what you want in that. Now, we've had people who said, well, I have pictures of people on it, you know, like pretty pictures that have women walking through the garden. Maybe they look like Victorian age. Maybe they look like a pilgrim or something. If, and all I'll say to this, if they're not biblically dressed and you leave it on your wall, now you're going to add confusion to somebody who looks at you and sees you biblically dressed and head covered, and then they see that picture that isn't. So you want to do something about that, whether that means get a different picture, or some people, I've known sisters who have changed the look of the picture and painted it biblical. That's something, that's your choice. So that's just a simple little one there. So basically, I don't really have any guidelines or anything for you other than follow what the scriptures say in keeping with good and pure and true and God-honoring, economical, and not being your focus. Now, here's another issue that kind of makes me think about this, you know, especially for those who have children and those who have husbands. And I say it that way because not every sister I know that has children has a husband. And so what I want to talk to sisters about that is making your home comfortable and welcoming is a good thing. And maybe some decorations are okay. That's fine. However it is that you decide to do it. But here's another thing to ponder. Is it conducive to be comfortable without causing extra stress about cleanness, neatness, and things like that? Let me just give you an example. We know people who their houses have pure white floors, light colored carpet, light colored furniture. Everything is spotless. The floors are scrubbed. You can't walk in their house with your shoes on. And you know what I'm saying? It's like if maybe their husband doesn't get dirty, or maybe their children don't get dirty. And there might be an issue with that as well. You know, that is like creating a tension atmosphere against having any kind of dirt in your home. You see what I'm saying? There might be a little bit of an obsession value there or something. So what I'm trying to say is, here's where I like to try to encourage sisters. If you have the opportunity, if your husband's a farmer, he's a laborer, he's a worker, he works at a job where his boots get dirty or whatever. I'm going to give you an example of Brother James and I, because I've been on both ends of the spectrum. Let me tell you this. Years and years ago, before I was even in Christ, there was a time it was a tiny, tiny apartment, and I had a floor that had little ridges in it, kind of made it look like stone or something. It wasn't like anything fancy or nothing. It wasn't mine. It was in the apartment building. I had a toothbrush, and several times a week, I would scrub every crack out of there. I would bleach the bathroom. Everything in there was spotless. You could eat off every surface, and I didn't like bringing my shoes in there. And I know it wasn't my place, so I was trying to keep it clean and stuff, but it was over the top. And then I'm at this end of the spectrum here where we live off-grid in a tiny house with repurposed materials that are our house. So, for example, when you walk in my house, it has old, old oak boards that Brother James cut to size. I sanded them and he screwed them in. And they have cracks in between them. And over time, the cracks have gotten a little larger because the wood has shrunk. Just a little bit in between, you know, as you lay the strips out. And we burn wood. And Brother James was a wood carver. And when we go cut wood, there's sawdust. And we live in the woods. There's a lot of dirt here. And we have gravel. We don't have nice, clean cement and all this other stuff. So we're in and out of the house, in and out, in and out. In fact, I'm in and out of the house 20, 30 times a day just to get water in the warmer months, because we're off grid. We don't have running water. I have to run and get it. And so there's always dirt on my floors. If I were to have a spotless house, that just wouldn't work. That would drive Brother James insane. It would drive myself insane. And so all I'm trying to tell you, sisters, is look at the lifestyle. Look at who's in your house, what it is, and yourself. Does it drive you crazy to have your house spotless? I mean, I'm not advocating for dirt, because I sweep my floor 20 times a day. If I run in it, my house is really tiny. It takes me like not even a minute to sweep my floors, and I just brush it out the door and sweep it off the step. It's simple. And then I vacuum up in between the cracks because of the wood stove and the dust and little things like that. To me, it's no big deal. It's old, it's charming, it's industrious. It's a place to live. I mean, back in the biblical times, they could have been living with dirt floors. And you see what I'm saying? We got to be real careful how much we elevate our house, our home, our coziness, our cleanliness, or the opposite end of the spectrum. We don't want to be lazy and be filthy dirty. So what I'm advocating for here in our houses is a healthy balance based on what you have, based on what your desires are, based on what your focus is, based on what who is in your life, where you live. And so there are no direct commands on this, so I can't tell you what to do, how to do it, when to do it, or anything what you can't do other than sinful things. Just make sure your life is God-honoring, you're not adding stress, you're not adding extra money into your budget to try to decorate and do things. And I guess that's about what I have to say, but I'm going to end with this right here. I want to read Ecclesiastes 2. Let's see, 4 through 11. I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased, more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and that was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of the spirit, for there was no profit under the sun. And so, sisters, I want to read one more part of this. Hold on, I got to go look it up. All right, so this is one of my favorite verses here. And anyway, before I go to it, I wanted to say, you know, after reading Ecclesiastes, we see the vanity of getting wrapped up in all that stuff. I know he was talking about the lust of his flesh and eyes. He was trying to fill in for himself what is all the lust that he was looking at. And he was never satisfied. And the wisdom that he had told him that none of it is really anything without God. And we see that also when Paul talks about in Philippians 3:8 that everything is dung compared to Christ. So keep this all in mind, you know, as you go about our lives here, and I say talk about keeping things in balance, make sure we have our focus right, because all this other stuff someday isn't going to matter. It's all going to be gone, or we're going to be gone. So anyway, I'm going to end this with this here. I want to read Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, when you weigh something like that against all this other stuff, that should strike fear in us and help us keep our focus right where it should be. Okay, sisters, I'm not sure that I was the biggest help here when it comes to discerning how to do your houses. But by the help of the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to do that and keep your focus where it should be first. All right, love to you all, sisters. Hold fast. May God be praised.